Welcome to the Invested Dads Podcast, simplifying financial topics so that you can take action and make your financial situation better. Helping you to understand the current world of financial planning and investments, here are your hosts, Josh Robb and Austin Wilson.
All right. Hey. Welcome back to the Invested Dads Podcast, a podcast where we take you on a journey to better your financial future. I'm Austin Wilson, research analyst at Hicks & Zerker Capital Management.
And I'm Josh Robb, director of financial planning at Hicks & Zerker Capital Management. So, Austin, how can people help us grow this podcast?
Well, we would love it if you would subscribe. So, actually, if you're not subscribed, pause right now.
Push the button.
Go push the plus button. Subscribe. We would love if you would, and you will get every episode as it's released every single Thursday. Over 120 episodes, and we have not missed one yet.
That's right.
Every single Thursday. So go subscribe on whatever platform you are listening to us on, and we would really appreciate it if you'd leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. I don't know. Wherever. Does Google have one?
I'm sure.
Go to Google anyway. Yeah. You would know that. But anyway, go leave us a review. We would love if you Google Podcast.
It's pretty simple, easy to find. You have to have some weird word to it.
We would love it if you would leave us a review. So today, we are going to be talking about a very specific and popular type of budgeting, and that is the cash-based budgeting method.
Yes, also known as the envelope method.
Envelope.
That's what I said.
No, you didn't. You said envelope.
Envelope.
Envelope. O-N-V-E-L-O-P-E.
So if you're writing in stationery, it's an envelope. If you're just putting a bill in there, it's an envelope.
It's an envelope. Yes. Dang it. We've had this debate before.
Yeah.
So that's how it's pronounced. It's envelope or envelope, depending on where you're from.
But or cash-based, so you don't have to argue
cash-based budgeting.
So the concept of that high level is cash-based system.
I think it's cash.
Uses cash.
It uses cash.
Pretty straightforward. Yeah. So the idea there is that you're, instead of using a credit card or a debit card or even a check, you're using cash. Physical cash.
This is also known as the you get to touch everyone's cash and get germs all over your hands and get sick method.
It's the stay home, use their sick leave.
Exactly.
Method. But the main reason for this is it really forces you into staying within your budgeted amounts because if I don't have the cash in my hand, I can't buy something.
Right.
That's the whole idea, right? So the envelope system
envelope.
Is just a way of taking this cash-based and putting an order to it, organizing it.
Now, one side note on cash is that I don't have a lot of cash on me typically. It's pretty unsanitary. Yeah. Exchanges hands a lot.
You shouldn't rub it all
over. I don't get any credit card rewards if I use cash. So we're going to talk about that later.
Yes.
But anyway, so I recently sold something on Facebook Marketplace.
Mm-hmm. That worked?
It was great.
It was great.
I just didn't have use for it. Sold it, got a couple dollars cash for it. Mm-hmm. So I got a $50 bill for...
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's nice, right? So I go to the ATM.
Did you bring the little highlighter to make sure
it's check it's legit? Real? I did not. It looked so well used that I assumed it was.
It was so old.
So I got this $50 and I went to the ATM and there was more than that. So I put all the money in, put it in the ATM to deposit it because I like it where I can see it. Mm-hmm. So all of it and this thing I put in 10 times and it keeps spitting
it
out.
Said, nope.
Because the thing was so dirty
and
like black stuff on it. It was filthy. Anyway, I took it to Kohl's and used it at Kohl's on a shirt.
Made them touch it.
And they made them touch it, and they took it, no problem. So anyway, that is just a tangent about how gross cash is. But let's talk about, and just note in our heads, that there actually are some expenses where you cannot use cash, such as loan payments or insurance, and those really are not included.
So like your mortgage, budget. Right? They want you to write a check or have it automatically.
Could you just walk up to the bank? I'm sure you
could. If your mortgage is at your local bank and they haven't sold it off somewhere else, then maybe you could deposit that money into an account. But I don't know if they'd actually take it as the loan payment. They want it coming from an account.
Right.
And so anyway, same as insurance. Most of the time, you don't have your local office is not the one that actually takes your money.
Yeah. Right?
You may have a local insurance agent, but they're not over there taking your transaction.
So no.
There's some expenses that you just have to do.
So
that's what you do in your budget though. Is you say, okay, you know, if I have a budget that's $5,000 for the month and I have a $1,000 mortgage, so take that out. I'm talking about my cash-based budgeting and then I have insurance and let's say all my insurance just cuz my math needs to be easy, it's another $1,000. So I went from 5, now I'm at $3,000.
So you have $3,000 cash you take out to build your budget.
Yep. And maybe some of the other ones are like utilities. A lot of times they don't like you. Some of them you can drop cash off and make a payment, but some of them may not be able to.
So sounds like a headache.
Yeah. So the idea though is all the ones like that I can eliminate from this system and have it automatically set to pay or do all that.
So let's break down how this works.
Yes. So first, I just did that. I said, okay, I had my $5,000 budget. I take out all the things, utilities, all the things that I can't use cash for. And then what's left is my cash-based budget piece.
So in this case, $3,000.
So then I would then say, okay, what categories in my budget am I going to use cash for and how much are each of those? So now I need to get my cash. So let's say I get paid every 2 weeks on my payday or the day after, you know, whenever your cash or your paycheck is deposited and settled, I'd drive over or walk over to the bank and say, I need some money. And on side note, my wife and I used to do this. We were on a cash-based system. And so I would go to the bank after payday and I would actually have a little sheet of paper and I would say, so it all fit in my envelopes that I would have, I need, you know, five $20 bills.
Oh,
I need two
$10
bills.
Down by bills. Yeah,
you know, fives, tens, twenties, ones, whatever I needed to make each of my envelopes filled up.
Envelopes.
So you go to the bank, you get your money, get it in the denominations that you need so that you are all set.
So like Lutheran, Presbyterian.
Yes, whatever they are.
Yep. Yep.
And so then I put them in my envelopes.
Yep.
Envelopes. And that is all set for that time period until I get paid next.
Yeah.
All right. Now, depending on, again, you're taking out like the mortgages and those type of things. So it's not like you need to split your paycheck between them. Usually you're just budgeting from one paycheck to the next in the cash system. All right. So I have all my money put aside in there, each in each spot. So each day, my job is in the morning to say, what am I doing today? What is my plan?
Right.
If I'm going to work, do I need any money between now and when I get back home?
Gas, lunch.
Do I owe somebody money? Is there a March Madness pool that I need to pay for that I lost and I owe somebody money for that? And so only bring the cash that I need for that day that will help me avoid overspending. So if I'm going clothing shopping, I should probably bring at least some of that money from the clothing envelope.
I mean, the question is, it's probably different for everyone.
Yes.
But you really need to look at your spending in buckets.
Yes.
And then have an envelope.
Envelope.
In for every bucket that you're looking at. So those could be like, you could have like a grocery envelope, a eating out envelope, clothing envelope, gas, those kind of things.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the idea. And, you know,
and it's different for everyone, right?
They actually make little, I want to call them like accordion folding organizers that are small enough that you could, you know, put, they're just bigger than dollar bills, you know, so you could sort them and have each of them categorized and you could bring a chunk. So let's say, and this is what a lot of people run into, that part of, we'll talk about the pros and cons, but part of it would be like, well, I'm going to Walmart, I'm going to get some clothes and I'm getting groceries. Okay, just grab a little bit of both.
Right.
And that's the thing is, there may be times that come up where, for whatever reason, maybe it's a birthday month or something, you're spending more. You can take money from one of the envelope system to the other, but in general, you're limited to that cash overall. So at the end of that period, you just have the cash that's there.
Yeah.
Or if at the end of the time period you have left over, you get to choose whatever you want to do with that.
Money.
You could fill up could put more in. You could say, oh, well, I'm going to start putting extra in this category or whatever.
Or save it.
Yeah. So that's high level how it works. Pretty straightforward, pretty simple. It's really just saying I'm going to put a dollar for this purpose and it's going to be just for that purpose. And I'm going to put it here so that I remember it.
And I'm stuck.
Yes.
But with that amount.
Yeah. Because you're not carrying your credit cards or debit cards or checkbook or anything like that to be forced or tempted to use that when you really want something.
Yeah. It's really easy to limit yourself. Yeah.
So that's how it works.
Yep.
Pretty easy.
So Josh, I have a dad joke of the week.
I'm ready.
And I think it's going to make you laugh.
Okay.
Okay.
I will not drink anything while you're
telling. That's right. The Gold Peak sweet tea is going to be taking a pause.
All right.
So what is a chef's favorite soft drink?
Ooh, a chef's favorite soft drink.
First thing that comes to your mind.
I don't drink a lot of soft drinks.
Okay. So you're supposed to say.
I'm supposed to say what?
Baking soda.
Baking soda.
And I would say.
Oh, yeah, I get that. Baking soda.
And I would say, gotcha. You would think so. Yeah. But it's actually Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper. I gotcha.
Huh?
There
you go. So that's the dad joke of the week. And back to what we were talking about, which is cash-based envelope. Not envelope. I can't even say it wrong.
Envelope is an envelope.
So back to cash-based budgeting. Let's look at the pros and cons for what seems to be a relatively simple method of running a budget.
Yes.
So let's start with the downside. So what are the cons of cash-based budgeting?
Yeah.
Wow, I can't talk.
One is time-consuming. You mentioned going to the bank and depositing your money that you got.
Right.
Like, just going to the bank takes time, right? It's inconvenience in my mind a lot of times. Unless you work at a bank, then I guess you're there. But the other con, it's easy to lose the money. When you're taking out a time period of money, let's say 2 weeks, if you get paid every 2 weeks, or if you get paid once a month, a whole month's worth, if you misplace that money, it's a big deal.
Or get robbed.
Or get robbed, which comes to number three of the cons. It's not as safe.
Okay.
Because not only are you carrying cash, but most cards, credit cards, have
fraud protection
built into them that if something happens, you can be made whole.
Right. If you drop your envelope at the store, if you drop it at the store and don't reach down and grab it because you didn't know you dropped it, someone's literally going to take it and spend it, and you have no way of recouping it. You're dust out.
It's gone. True story. Back when we were doing the cash system, my wife accidentally, she's great, she's awesome, she accidentally left some of our cash in a library book.
And turned it in.
And turned the library book
in. And?
And they called us and returned the money.
Oh, very
nice. How awesome is that? Local library
book. That was Indiana.
Local library. No, this is here in Ohio.
Really?
Hancock County, Finley, Hancock County Library.
They just thought she was paying for
them. Very honest people there. They said, I think you left some money in your book. I said, yes.
That is so funny.
And then it's possible that you forget a category and you've already put your money and spent, and then you're playing catch up. So for instance, like I said, what if there is a birthday that shows up, you know, last minute, or someone calls, hey, I'm going out, and you're like, well, I already spent all. It could get frustrating if you are very diligent in sticking to your envelopes that you just can't really like budge and move.
You could have a special envelope in a safe for
extra. Yeah. And that's actually, honestly, back when we did this, if there was money left over at the end of the month, instead of spending that, I would actually put it aside
just
so
in
that
case.
If we ran into a situation where something popped up we just really wanted to do, that would be a no guilt bucket of money we could spend from. Now, just sitting somewhere, so it's not earning an interest.
Oh, like it is at the bank?
Yes, right. So it was just there. You know, there were times it would come up, would be like, hey, there's someone at the door and they're selling Girl Scout cookies. Oh, I have a 10 that I had, so we can buy some Girl Scout cookies.
So let's flip this discussion on its head.
Yes.
And we are going to then look at the pros. So what are some good things about this? Because this method, it's really popular with the Dave Ramsey crowd, right? Yes.
Yep.
And this is kind of his big thing of how he suggests people oftentimes manage
their finances.
And so it's very popular. So obviously there are some things that work for it. What are those?
Yeah. So it's easy to track your spending, right? If I have
$100
for the groceries and I have 20 left in that bucket, I must have spent $80 on groceries, right? Mm-hmm. It's pretty easy to track that.
That doesn't go very far nowadays.
$100 on groceries does not go very far for groceries. It reduces your impulse spending. Because if I can only spend the cash I have on hand, if I walk into the store and, oh, that's awesome, I really want that, I didn't bring enough cash for that, well, it forces me to go home, get the cash, and come back, which gives you a lot of time to think about, do I actually really want and need this?
And you have an attachment to the cash when it's literal cash in your hand, where
psychologically it's harder to spend that when you're handing it over.
You're going to be like, if I have to fork over a $100 bill or something for this, I'm going to be like, oh my goodness, this is horrible.
Yep. And it does encourage saving, because what it does is, if one of my buckets is saving, it just doesn't come with me in my cash, right? It stays in the bank. Because you go to do your withdrawal, just like your tillage and everything else, it encourages, because I never get to see that because I don't have any way of accessing it. I'm not taking it out and hoping it's there at the end. So those are the pros. Like you said, it's a very popular method. And it's one of those, I would say, for a lot of people starting out, it's a nice process.
Yeah. It's a low risk. Yes. Like if you have a problem with credit card debt or credit card spending, this is like the antidote to that.
Yes, it is.
Because you can't have that problem anymore. Yep. All of a sudden, you are unable. So this is probably designed for people in the transition from maybe living a life with more debt, more credit card issues or whatever, to all of a sudden, hey, I really need to get a handle on this. This is like the 180 from that.
Yes.
Right?
It's the idea. If you find yourself saying, where did all my money go? This is a way that'll help you answer that, because you're going to remember handing that money over.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, you're right. It's reverse to spending with your card.
Yeah.
So, Austin, I'm going to ask you, because we've had episodes about credit cards, right?
Yeah.
Just in general. You know, I mentioned pros and cons. One of the ones I didn't mention, you mentioned it, is you miss out on some benefits possibly
right.
by using cash. Yep. Cash does not have any auxiliary benefits tied to it.
Yeah, a couple of those benefits are, yes, obviously, we mentioned two of them, really. Mm-hmm. So something like rewards, cash back, whatever that is, when not typically with debit cards, this is with credit cards, you're going to have the ability to earn a percentage or points or discounts or whatever when you use that card. Yep. And we would say, that's okay as long as you're paying it off in full every month, right?
Yep.
So that's one benefit of that, which you don't get with cash. Mm-hmm. And the other is the fraud protection and the, you know, think about you can't buy things online with cash.
Yeah.
That's a really hard thing. Mm-hmm. So
Amazon does not like
this
method.
You don't have the ability to buy things online, but also you're just not protected at all.
Yeah. Well, even some credit cards have like extended warranties, things like that, that they have as an auxiliary benefit. The other one too is building your credit score.
Oh, this does nothing for that, which, by the way, plug, we do have an episode on understanding your credit score, so we will link that in the show notes. Yes. I would give that a listen because it's not really relevant to the people who are using cash for everything, but you know what? If you're using cash for everything, you probably don't have $200,000+ sitting around for a house, so probably good to be thinking about your credit score as it relates to a loan.
Yeah. So, is this the right way? What do you think?
Oh, man. I'm going to
ask you. Let me ask you. Austin, is this the right way?
Here's my answer.
Yes.
In moderation. No, that's the typical Josh answer. I think it really depends on the situation.
Yeah.
Because like I said earlier, if you're that person who has a problem with spending, typically with credit cards, you know, you got a lot of debt or whatever, and you need to break the habit, this is probably a really great solution for you because it's going to change your habits completely and make you really think about your finances. Yep. I would say this is probably a little bit too strict for someone who has a good handle on their finances and knows where their money's going all the time or is just in a different, you know, financially free situation.
Yep.
For someone like that, maybe they could be a little bit more flexible.
Yep. I've run into, like you said, a great starting point. If you're saying, I'm really struggling, this just kind of forces you into the habits because if you are actually doing it right where you're not cutting them up or just leaving at home your credit card and debit card and stuff and forced to use cash, it really does reinforce those habits. Now, my own opinion is that with technology nowadays, you could actually do these envelope system with electronic apps.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So you're still spending and bucketing, but you could still use a card or something and then it will update you on what you've spent out of. Also, I like, you know, if you start out here and you're like, okay, I'm getting a feel for my budget, things are going good, you could then, I call it like a hybrid method, is I can allow myself to use a card of some sort for certain things, but the ones I just tend to overspend on, I'm going to keep in cash. So for instance, our family, one of the first things we switched away from cash was gas for our vehicles.
Because it's not really discretionary.
It's so inconvenient. Yeah, well, and it's so inconvenient, especially once we had kids, to walk in and pay.
Yeah.
Right? Just, I want to do it at the pump. I want to swipe my card so I don't have to go anywhere.
Right.
Right. And so that was a debate where like, let's just not do that because it varies.
Right.
I mean, it's, you're right. It's not discretionary, but it varies. So it's not a flat one that, you know, every month of spending X, but we were pretty consistent with that spending. I mean, you're not changing too much your driving habits.
Yep.
And two, for the convenience factor of with little kids, especially of getting them out of the car and bringing them in, or do you leave them in the car, which all that stuff, it's like, okay. It's just don't even worry about cash there.
Right.
And so then we worked away from that and it was like, okay, we took a hybrid approach and it says, okay, what else is it? Okay, online purchases. Well, okay, what are the things we tend to buy online? And you work through that. So we were using cash for certain things, but other things it wasn't. So for the last thing we went away from cash was lunch eating out.
Oh yeah.
Because that was the one where I could tend to easily overspend, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna grab a quick sandwich. I'm gonna go grab a quick bite.
And I love lunch.
It's just over, you know, and you spend without over the time period, it adds up. So that was the last thing I used cash or was in my cash budget was everything else was using cards and automatic. You know, we had everything was great. And then I just got cash out just for my spending.
Right.
For lunches.
Yeah.
Not even dining out at dinner with
just
the family.
Lunch.
Just lunches.
The lunch budget.
Because that was the way it was.
Yep.
So I took a hybrid approach. Worked for me. Mm-hmm. That was a nice way of saying, okay, convenience / needing the discipline, we found a balance between those.
Everyone has to do what works for them.
Yes.
And as long as you are working towards a financial situation where you are not a slave to your debt, then, hey, you are going to be better off than most people, and you can choose what works for you. Everyone's going to take a different approach to that. So that's why my answer was, it depends.
Yep.
So
one last thing before you close up
I know.
is The other way this works is situational. Mm-hmm. For instance, I'm going on vacation. Maybe you just take out the cash that you're going to spend on vacation, and that limits you from overspending while you're there.
Traveler's check.
Traveler's check.
I don't even know what that is.
Do they do those?
I don't even.
Oh, man. I have a story about that. We're driving. Had traveler's checks.
Okay.
Where are you? We're in the United States, yeah. Right? We're not like going anywhere crazy. We're just driving south. And we decided to drive through the night to get there. So driving along. It was great because there's no traffic. Driving along. Going to get there in the morning. Well, we hit a toll road. So we're driving on a toll road. We get to the first toll stop.
You have no cash.
But I have traveler's checks. They're as good as cash, right? That's how they're sold. So I go to pay. There's an attendant, and the attendant's like, we don't take traveler's checks. Like, I don't have cash. I don't know what you want me to do.
Do you need to fill out the envelope thing and mail it?
No, he's like, took my license and stuff. He's like, between here and the next one, get cash. You go to the convenience store or whatever, and then pay for that one and this one or whatever. I don't. So then I stopped at the convenience store. Well, it's like 2 a.m, right? So hardly anything's open. Finally find a gas station that's open. So I had to go buy something to get cash.
Yeah.
So then, which is a whole mess.
While we're on these crazy stories. We're on these crazy stories about toll roads.
Yes.
This isn't that related.
Yes.
But my wife and I, and at that point, our one-year-old daughter were on vacation in Florida.
Yep.
So we're driving. Went to go visit my cousin. What's up, Jacob?
Yeah.
Hashtag.
He has his own hashtag.
Hashtag. Right. So we went to go visit him, and he lives in the New Smyrna Beach, south of Daytona region of Florida. And we were staying near Orlando, so it's like an hour and a half drive through Florida to get there. So anyway, we had a great day hanging out with him on the beach, and we had to go back to Orlando to stay.
Yep.
Toll roads the entire way. Mm. I have cash, man. I got cash. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to pay these tolls. We get off on our exit, and guess what? They only take exact change.
Exact change. That's how they get you.
Not even. I have all the cash.
Yeah. They want change.
But they want quarters.
Quarters. They like quarters.
So I had to take the envelope, which I was in a rental car.
Oh, yeah.
They had to take the envelope, and I had to go yada, 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 write down what number, where I was, what the license plate was, and then take it and mail in a check for the exact amount.
Of what?
$1.75 or something.
Like hardly, yeah.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Yes. And then mail it in once I got back to Ohio, because I didn't bring a check with me on vacation.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my story. But anyway, I think we need to settle something once and for all.
Right,
we're going to put up a Twitter poll. On Thursday when this episode drops. Mm-hmm. The Twitter poll is going to be, are you team envelope with an O?
We'll still spell the same. Just
nope.
Fancy pronunciation.
Or are you team envelope?
Ooh.
The right way.
Or are you team when you're writing fancy stationery with envelope?
So vote on our Twitter poll. And please share this episode if you have someone that was asking about the cash-based envelope budgeting method and is curious about that, because maybe our thoughts would give them a little bit of clarity on what's going on with that. So share this episode with friends and family. And if you have any other ideas or things you would like us to talk about,
or a good story about how an envelope method worked for you,
or an envelope method,
who knows?
Please email that to us at hello@theinvesteddads.com. Well, until next Thursday,
we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Invested Dads podcast. This episode has ended, but your journey towards a better financial future doesn't have to. Head over to theinvesteddads.com to access all the links and resources mentioned in today's show. If you enjoyed this episode and we had a positive impact on your life, leave us a review, click subscribe, and don't miss the next episode. Josh Robb and Austin Wilson work for Hicks & Zerker Capital Management. All opinions expressed by Josh, Austin, or any podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Hicks & Zerker Capital Management. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for investment decisions. Clients of Hicks & Zerker Capital Management may maintain positions in the securities discussed in this podcast. There is no guarantee that the statements, opinions, or forecasts provided herein will prove to be correct. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Indices are not available for direct investment. Any investor who attempts to mimic the performance of an index would incur fees and expenses, which would reduce returns. Securities investing involves risk, including the potential for loss of principal. There is no assurance that any investment plan or strategy will be successful.